you. Good afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West, and welcome to the Talking Freight Seminar Series. My name is Jennifer Simone, and I'll be moderating today's seminar. Today's topic is integrating sustainability analysis into freight transportation projects and programs. Before I go any further, I do want to let those of you who are calling into the teleconference for the audio know that you need to mute your computer speakers, or else you'll be hearing the audio over the computer as well. Today we'll have three presenters: Heather Holsinger of the Federal Highway Administration Sustainable Transport and Climate Change Team, Alan Lewis of the Transport and Travel Research Limited, and Matthew Payne of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Typically I would read the presenter bios at this point, but given that we're a little bit late getting started and I do want to make sure that we have time for questions, I am going to skip over that and just continue on before I turn it over to the presenters. Today's seminar will last 90 minutes, with 60 minutes allocated for the speakers and the final 30 minutes for audience question and answer. If during the presentations you think of a question, please type it into the chat area. Send your question to everyone and indicate which presenter your question is for. The presenters will not be answering the questions during their presentations, but I'll start off the Q&A session with the questions typed into the chat box. If we run out of time and aren't able to address all questions, we'll attempt to get written responses from the presenters to the unanswered questions. The PowerPoint presentations given today are available for download in the file download box in the lower right corner of your screen, and the presentations will also be available online within the next few weeks, along with the recording and a transcript. I'll notify all attendees once these materials are posted online. One final note, Talking Freight is eligible for 1.5 certification maintenance credits for AICP members. In order to obtain credit for today, you must have logged in with your first and last name, or if you're attending with a group of people, please type your first and last name into the chat box. I've included more detailed instructions in the file share box on how to obtain your credits after the seminar. This event is event number E21519, which is on the slide on your screen, and this slide is also available for download if you do want to copy that number. I encourage everybody to download the evaluation form from the download box in the bottom right corner and submit this form to me after you've filled it out so that we can make sure to keep Talking Freight useful to your needs. We'll now go ahead and get started. Today's topic again is integrating sustainability analysis into freight transportation projects and programs. As a reminder, if you think of questions during the presentation, please type them into the chat box and they'll be answered in the last 30 minutes of the seminar. Our first presenter will be Heather Holsinger of the Federal Highway Administration Sustainable Transport and Climate Change Team. So Heather, I will bring up your presentation and you can go ahead.
Hey, great, thanks Jennifer. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to participate in the webinar today. And I know we don't have a lot of time, we've got a lot of great information, so I'll go ahead and jump right in. I'm gonna be talking a little bit giving a little bit of an overview of sustainability from the Federal Highway Administration perspective, and then spend most of the time talking about a new sustainability tool called INVEST, which includes information on integrating sustainability into freight issues. So first off, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what a sustainable highway system is. And a lot of you are probably familiar with the Venn diagram over to the right, which includes consideration of social, environment, and economic concerns, and the integration of those three elements. And we at Federal Highways believe that this sustainability is an integral part of sustainable development, but a sustainable highway system must satisfy functional requirements, such as the transportation goals and needs that an agency has, while at the same time addressing development and economic growth, and avoiding minimizing or reducing impacts on the environment and the consumption of natural resources. So at Federal Highways, we've spent some time discussing what sustainability means to us, and what it really comes down to is action. And we really want to stress the implementation of sustainable practices and find ways to deliver the federal aid and federal lands highway programs in a more sustainable way. So that means working with state departments of transportation and metropolitan planning organizations, as well as federal agencies involved in managing federal lands, and we work with them very closely on transportation issues on federal lands, and helping them to make wise investment decisions with limited resources, increasingly limited resources, both financial and natural resources. Encouraging changes in professional practice and including sustainability throughout the decision-making process. We also like to stress that we would we'd like folks to go beyond just complying with existing regulations and finding ways to do above and beyond that. And going back to the triple bottom line, this is a greenish initiative, but it's also, it's more than that. It's about the social and economic concerns as well. So we always have to stress that aspect. So we have a new initiative called the Sustainable Highways Initiative. It's relatively new, and the goal is to promote coordination within federal highways and with other federal highway initiatives, because there's a lot going on throughout the agency related to sustainability. And so we're hoping to provide a forum to showcase a lot of those activities in one place. We are also interested in strengthening engagement with the DOTs and MPOs that I mentioned before, our stakeholders, and then coordinating with other partners in sustainability efforts, including some organizations such as ASCE, ACEC, lots of acronyms here, AASHTO, AMPO, all the folks that we work with on a regular basis, and other federal agencies such as FTA and EPA. So we have a new website that we hope is going to be a portal to access some of the information that is out there on activities and resources that are available, including case studies to highlight sustainable practices. And you can see the website right there on the slide. I encourage everyone to take a look. It's definitely a work in progress, and we're looking to populate it even further, and we would certainly take recommendations and suggestions of things that we should be including there. One of the major goals, though, of our initiatives is to develop tools that we can distribute to our stakeholders for use in incorporating sustainability into their efforts. And one of those tools is a new tool called INVEST, and that's what I'm going to spend most of the time today talking about. So INVEST actually stands for Infrastructure Voluntary Evaluation Sustainability Tool, and it's web-based. It's a self-evaluation tool. And we have to make sure that we say voluntary as many times as possible, because it is certainly a voluntary system. It's not required of our stakeholders. But it is a really exciting tool that folks can use to assess sustainability over the life cycle of a transportation project or program. So that means starting from system planning and project planning all the way through design and construction and operations and maintenance. And to make sure that we do incorporate sustainability into all of those elements of the entire transportation planning process, we've broken up the tool into three modules, essentially. The first module is on project development. And the focus really there is on specific projects, specific transportation projects. The second module, system planning, is really focused on agency-wide management and planning of highway networks. And the final and third module is operations and maintenance, which focuses on operations and maintenance policies and procedures for maintaining a highway network. The overall goals of INVEST are to encourage implementation of sustainable practices and help agencies assess their level of sustainability and identify areas for internal improvement. So originally the idea was to develop a tool that was similar to a LEED type tool for sustainability evaluation. And it is structured very similar to that tool. One of the big differences, however, is that this is a voluntary self-assessment tool with no third-party evaluation. It's also free of charge for folks to use, either to assess their programs and projects or to just look through it and get some ideas and not actually go through the process of actually evaluating something. But you can evaluate a single project or multiple projects, and you can take a look at a project prospectively before getting started or retrospectively to see how your project fared and identify ways to make improvements. And you can also take a look at planning for O&M programs and processes. One of the exciting things about this tool, we think, is this provides a really exciting framework for communicating with stakeholders and decision makers about sustainability. And it also establishes a method for identifying best practices, which there are a number of best practices contained within the tool. Just wanted to mention a little bit about the evolution of INVEST. We actually started working on it back in the fall of 2010, and we released a beta version of the tool at that time. And we put it out there to the public and for comments, and we got a lot of comments from AASHTO, EPA, and a lot of subject matter experts as well. And we took the feedback that we got from that version and developed the pilot test version. As you can imagine, the goal of that pilot test version was to actually test out the tool formally. And that was released in the fall of 2011, and we received I think 1,200 is an underestimate. There are probably close to a couple of thousand of comments that we received from both the pilot test participants, but also the public and other experts. So over the last few months, we've taken all the feedback that we've gotten through the pilot test version process and incorporated those into version 1.0, which we expect to release next month, actually, October 2012. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the pilot testing of the tool because we received so much great feedback from the folks that took a look at the tool and went through it and assessed it. We were looking for information on further refinements in the actual criteria within the tool, so the actual sustainability elements, and how we were actually calibrating the tool to score folks on sustainability. And we also wanted feedback on just how the tool functions as an online evaluation tool, and because we wanted to make the tool as easy as possible for folks to use. And the process that the agencies went through to test the tool varied quite a bit, but I wanted to show you all where those folks were coming from in testing the tool. So as you can see, we had a pretty good diversity in terms of the folks that were taking a look at the different elements of the tool. And we did test the different modules separately. So the folks in the orange took a look at the project development or PD criteria. And we had a total of 17 projects that were assessed by 11 different agencies. And then the system planning criteria were assessed by the folks that you can see shaded in dark blue. And we had a total of 4 metropolitan planning organizations and 3 departments of transportation that took a look at the tool and assessed it for us. And then finally, the operations and maintenance criteria were tested by the folks in the light blue in the southwest area, Arizona and Nevada. The one other unique state that I wanted to point out was Minnesota, because they did take a look at the beta test version and the pilot test version of the tool and looked at all 3 modules and gave us some really good feedback on the tool. And it's really exciting that we've gotten such a good diverse set of folks testing it, because the tool itself, we hope, will be useful and usable by folks across the country. So it was important to get everybody's feedback. And just to give a sense of what it might be like to use the tool, I wanted to highlight a couple of the pilot test projects. One of those was done by TAMSI, and it was taking a look at a route, the 156 West Corridor realignment. So this was a realignment, and it was a project in progress, and the environmental document had already been submitted. And the agency wanted to take a look at what they were planning to do and assess that current project standards and design specifications. And they scored pretty good. They scored gold, but they identified a lot of areas where they could make additional progress to get them to a higher score, such as platinum. And the feedback they gave to us was that this evaluation was going to influence some of the decisions that they are making going forward on the tool. And they're going to go back and evaluate the tool again during design and construction. One of the other pilot testers, folks at the Arizona DOT, took a look at the system planning criteria. And they used their long-range transportation plan, and they took a look at that plan to see how sustainable it was and looking at all of the various system planning criteria. And they felt that they scored pretty good on the financial sustainability side, but there was a little bit more progress that could be made on some other areas, particularly where they interacted with the MPO, and there's a relationship there that they have to work with the MPOs on. So some of those issues included freight, air quality, energy and fuels, congestion, and infrastructure resiliency. And they, of course, gave us some good feedback of changes that we can make to the tool, as did all of the pilot testers. So we learned a lot. Overall, agencies were very supportive, enthusiastic about Invest. They felt that the programmatic application was most useful in many cases. They gave us some really good technical and contextual changes that we have at this point integrated into the new version. And they gave us some suggestions that they would like to see going forward, like more information about sustainable practices and some existing and some additional guidance for using the tool. So some of the changes for Invest 1.0, the new version that's coming out in October, we made a lot of changes to the criteria contained within the 3 modules of the tool. In particular, with regards to the project development criteria, there were concerns that some of the projects in more rural areas weren't really, a lot of the criteria that were used didn't actually apply to those particular projects. So we actually allow for more scorecards now so that folks can customize the tool to their situation from their projects. And we're giving more opportunity for partial credit. In some cases, someone would not score very well because they were doing something, but not quite to the point where the tool would allow for points. So now we have opportunities for partial credit. And we're putting more emphasis on the process of actually sitting down and talking through the tool and using the tool versus the actual score. Some additional changes on the interface. In this slide, you can actually see what the tool looks like online. We made some improvements on the interface, clarifying some of the sustainability linkages, which you can see there in the Venn diagram in the middle of the page. And we also allowed for scoring notes so that when you were going through the tool and scoring your project, you could actually indicate why you were giving yourself a score and refer back to that later. And again, providing an opportunity to provide notes and upload documents, as you can see on the right-hand side of the slide, so that you can indicate to provide justification for why the score you scored yourself the way you did. And we also added a workspace. Prior to this version, you weren't actually able to do any collaboration or work on separate projects at one time, so this does allow for that now. So I just wanted to quickly go through some of the criteria that are actually in the version 1. We have a total of 29 criteria for this project development module. And I wanted to call your attention to PD13, which is freight mobility. So I'm going to come back to that in a second and talk a little bit more about that. But as you can see, it goes all the way through recycling materials and long life pavement design through construction noise mitigation and construction quality control. So back to PD13 freight mobility. So essentially each of those criteria looks something like this. It includes a goal. In this case, the goal is to enhance mobility of freight movements, decrease fuel consumption and emissions impacts, and reduce freight-related noise. And then when it's within each criteria, there are a certain number of points you can get for the various activities that you might be conducting. In this case, you can get 1 to 7 points within the freight mobility criteria. And here are just some of the examples. I don't think I have time to go through each of them, but for example, you could get 1 point for a no idling policy and signage. And you can get two points for safety improvements for freight. And additional points for things like automated weigh-in motion stations, virtual weigh-in motion stations, and the construction or converting an existing mixed lane, traffic lane to a truck-only lane. You can get 5 points for that down there at the bottom. Skipping over to the system planning criteria, there are a total of 17 within that module, and it ranges from integrated planning all the way through safety planning, and then air quality, energy and fuels, and linking planning and NEPA. I did, in this case, want to call your attention to SP8, which are freight and good movements. And so you can see here again, the setup is very similar to the project development criteria where there's a goal and the points that are available and the requirements for getting those points. So in this case, you can get a total of 15 points, 2 points for engaging stakeholders, 4 points for freight mobility needs, if you do those specific items listed. And then continuing on, 4 points for freight reliability, 4 points for intermodal freight connectors. And here are the criteria for operations and maintenance, everything from an internal sustainability plan through bridge management systems and work zone traffic control. So next steps. As I mentioned, Invest 1.0 is going to be released on October 10th. If anyone's interested, we're going to be having a webinar to release, a virtual webinar releasing the tool. And if you're interested, please contact me and I can get you the invitation for that. We're also planning the deployment of the tool going forward over the next year or so, where we're hoping to get additional folks to try the tool and use it. And we're working on developing those toolkits to help make it easier for folks to use the tool. And of course, we'll be monitoring the performance and impact of Invest 1.0. And hopefully, as sustainability, the field evolves, we'll be making changes to the tool and going to 2.0 and beyond. So thank you very much. And here's the contact information for myself and the other members of my team. Sustainablehighways.org is the website for the tool itself, so you're welcome to take a look. And then the website underneath that is the website for the Sustainable Highways Initiative. And that's it, Jennifer. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, Heather. Heather's presentation is available for download in the file download box in the lower right corner, so if you do want to get that information, you can download it to get it. Our next presentation will be given by Alan Lewis of Transport and Travel Research Limited. So, Alan, you can go ahead when you're ready.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Hopefully I'm coming through loud and clear.
Yes, sounds good.
Great. Okay, so it's great to be able to join everybody today. I'm going to be talking about a project called the COFRET project, which is basically around the carbon footprint of freight transport. So the structure of the presentation, a brief introduction, followed by the approach of the project, our first stages, which were a review of the existing status of carbon footprinting within freight transport, a little bit on the methodology that we're developing, and then our next steps. So COFRET is primarily funded by the European Union, and it's a defined length project, research and demonstration, and it's being performed by a consortium of 14 different organisations. And we're all putting in a little bit of funding as well to help that along. The scope of COFRET covers four items. It's clearly around the transport element of the carbon footprint within supply chains. It's looking to use available methods wherever possible, and then provide solutions for where the gaps are in what's available, to come up with a first draft of a best methodology for carbon footprinting of freight transport. We aim to look at all modes and also logistics operations within the supply chain. And very important for us, the European Standards Body, SEN, is in the process of publishing a standard for this, which is going to be applicable in Europe, and so we need to make sure that we're in line with that. But also, SEN has already made moves to the International Standards Organization to promote this as maybe working towards a global standard in time. So, COFRET's objectives: to establish a complete greenhouse gas emission calculation methodology for supply chains. Again, covering all shipments at supply chain level, but suitable for aggregation. We're looking to provide something which is flexible across different supply chain configurations so that you can compare different alternative modes for transport, say, from the Far East to Europe, whether it's air freight or sea freight and alternatives. And key to us is to make sure that this is embedded so that transport operators actually use this. It's not meant to be a research study which then sits on a shelf. And that's something that is very important to us. So the stages of our project and the approach: review the existing situation so that we know what approaches to methodology are out there, what tools are there, and what the users want from this sort of this. Then work with those existing initiatives review what best practice is and where the gaps are, and then look to involve a lot of key industry stakeholders in our work so that we produce comprehensive methodology that can then be used in practice. The method involves splitting out supply chains into specific elements, and I'll come back to that later. We then intend to test the methodology with some of these industry stakeholders in real supply chain applications. That'll be during 2013. And then we also need to emphasize the use of actual data by transport companies. So those who have real data about kilometers traveled or fuel used, rather than estimates, basically, or proxy data. Here's a schematic, basically, of the project setup, if that helps, but I'm not going to go through that now. As part of our review at the early stages, we found that there are a lot of high-level methods and initiatives that we need to make sure that we are in line with, such as the Greenhouse Gas Protocol, ISO standards, the new European standard, but they tend to be at quite a high level and still leave a lot of flexibility for the approach that is taken in detail. So within the existing tools that are out there, which can still comply with those three at the top, there's differences in what greenhouse gases are taken account or what supply chain elements are there, which modes, and also what data is used. If any, actually. What we found is that there's a real need for a neutral approach, which isn't predicated on any particular mode, and it gives transparency as to the calculation methods and points users at the best available data if the transport operator can't access their own. We started out then with a detailed review of three elements, and I'll go through those now. Firstly, a detailed review of existing methodologies, calculation tools that are available, maybe both publicly or which are being used in-house by major transport operators, and also databases of emissions factors. We assessed those against various criteria in some detail in order to get a feel for what the best practice elements are, what elements of flexibility there were, details of coverage, etc., so that we know what the market is already working with. We then spent a lot of time working with shippers and transport companies, conducting in-depth interviews about what they're currently doing, what they've developed in-house, or whether they're using systems that they've had to purchase, and also just getting a feel for what the pressures are on them from their customers, clients, or national regulators. This was a wide range of stakeholders, and finished off with a stakeholder workshop, which was really valuable. And it really showed us in some detail what the current problems are. And finally, we made sure that we looked at what future technologies are coming into the freight transport system, which we're going to need to take account of within the methodology and also the use of it. And something that's particularly important here is actually electronic transfer of information along supply chains. And that is really important to try to embed environmental information along with information about weights of consignments, pricing, etc., as shipments transfer from one operator to another in a multimodal supply chain. This is something that's a big issue for the European Commission at the moment. What this review gives us is a very detailed, up-to-date knowledge base of what's going on in the market in this area, basically. And it shows a wide variability in the methodologies that are being used, a huge number of different tools that different transport operators are using. And that in itself is a problem, because each operator tends to have its own data and effectively a black box tool, so that if a shipper wants to purchase transport from a particular company and gets quotes from two or three, it gets a cost quote, and then the carbon footprint or carbon emissions that are supplied, they have no idea as to whether they're comparable directly or not on the same basis. So we've looked at the most relevant methods and prioritized them. We've clarified in some detail the user needs, and that emphasized this need for harmonization and transparency. And we've really used this to confirm, and indeed for the European Commission, that the objectives that they set and funded COFRET for are relevant. And indeed, I think it's emphasized that to them more than when they started. And it's also, I think, highlighted the global issue of this, because so much freight transport is done on the global level. Four main user needs were identified. Increased energy efficiency, which basically means cut fuel use and cut costs, which are really important at the moment. Giving operators the opportunity to control the way that they address these issues and to interact with their subcontractors. To answer their customers' questions, for a transport operator, that could be the questions of the shipper who purchased their transport operations. And if the shipper is required to produce a carbon footprint for an individual product, then they need to understand the transport elements as well as manufacturing and et cetera within that. And also it gives the opportunity to assess the use of different modal chains when transporting freight from one location to another. So comparing, say, road and rail for a particular journey. In terms of a graphical presentation, basically customer requirements is a pressure on this system. You've got the company requirements internally, and also something which is coming to the fore and has been led by the French government is political requirements, because the French government is in the process of introducing mandatory reporting of CO2 for any transport, whether it's personal transport being provided by a bus company or whether it's commercial transport. That needs to be recorded just in the same way as costs are on invoices or on quotes to provide services. And we wonder whether this is going to come to other national administrations in the future. I've already covered some of this already, but the weaknesses of the existing situation, many different tools. Often they focus on one particular transport mode, particularly road transport, because that makes up so much of the market at a European level. But that doesn't really help when we're dealing with global supply chains. Difference in calculation methods, as I said, leading to incomparable results. Missing interfaces between transport companies and either their subcontractors or other organizations within a supply chain. Lack of primary data. Many transport companies don't seem to be able to identify with accuracy their fuel use or the kilometers traveled for specific journeys, meaning that default data is often used, which leads to inaccuracy, and this lack of comparability is compounded. So taken together, emphasizes the need for the global methodology. Our approach beyond that then is to work with the existing initiatives, and that's something that, again, I'll emphasize later on. We need to define appropriate supply chain elements within a longer supply chain, and also review how to handle the issue of data. And it's really important to emphasize that we are producing a methodology. We'll have a tool that will do this and calculate things as part of our case studies, but it's not our intention to produce some form of freeware calculation tool. We're intending that the methodology is made available effectively freely for organizations to use in their own systems, or indeed for software companies to pick up and then to provide. And that's because basically we're funded by public money, and that's part of the deal. In formulating the methodology, having started with over 100 things that we reviewed, we've selected 36, gone through another much more detailed review process, and identified about half of these, particularly some of the methodologies and calculation tools, which give us the best options for different modes as part of the overall process that we're pulling together. And that's really what we're working with. So the way that we apply this within a supply chain is a question of identifying what the different elements are. And then for each of the transport elements, calculate the carbon footprint for each element, add those together. And similarly for any of the emissions that there are different types of terminal, multimodal terminals, warehouses, etc., so that you come together with an overall supply chain calculation. For the transport elements, the way it's been approached and the way that our user stakeholders have asked us is very much on a modal basis. And the research that we've done identified that that is perfectly possible. Terminals cause more of a problem because there seems to be less reliable data available, certainly in the public domain. So the way that we're likely to approach terminals, certainly in the short term, is to allow calculations either on a full terminal basis, if that's the level of data that's available, or if an operator is able to break it down into which of the sub-supply chain elements are in place at a particular terminal, then they can select those and work from the energy use or fuel use associated with each one to give a more accurate figure. I'm not intending to go through what is a relatively complicated flow diagram in detail. I think the important thing is to note that supply chain elements are identified as to what's present, and then we ask the user, do they have detailed information about the distance traveled and the energy use for that supply chain? And if they do, they basically stay in the green band, because that's basing the calculation on as accurate data as possible, so that the first supply chain element may well be green. You go round the chain, you then say the next one, also green. But then if you get to a third supply chain element where data isn't actually available and they rely on proxy data, then that gets a lower level of accuracy within the overall calculation. So at the moment, we're in the process of finalizing our methodology, certainly in a first draft, and we are then going to consult with our stakeholders. Inevitably, that will mean that there will be iteration over the next sort of 6 to 12 months, both as we talk to them and also as we then do our case studies. we've got very strong links to both transport organisations, but also some representative organisations, including World Economic Forum, who are in the process of doing this sort of activity already with something called the Consignment Carbon Initiative. And what we've been able to do is to provide our information to them, which I think has been a great help. And at the same time, they've been able to spread our information to their participants. Green Freight Europe is a road freight network based in Europe, which follows a similar model to the Smartway initiative in the States. It's relatively new, but has got a lot of momentum. And again, they're part of our stakeholder group. And then finally, as an example here, making sure that, as I say, we're aligned with the standards body in Europe. The full advisory board obviously is a European basis, given our origins. But at the same time, we do have some very important international players on there, such as World Economic Forum, IATA at present, Worldwide Fund for Nature in there to give an NGO perspective, especially as they're very heavily involved in the maritime sector and sustainability in that area. And similarly, we have representatives from different modes. So Clean Cargo Working Group is primarily around maritime transport, obviously IATA for aviation, and then some of the others for rail, like Deutsche Bahn, etc. So we feel we've got most bases covered in that respect. And our next meeting of the advisory board is actually next week, which will be very important for us to ensure that our stakeholders are on board with what we're doing. The COFRET website is something that I would encourage everybody to maybe have a look at. And if anybody's interested in getting in touch about any of the particular elements of the project, I've also provided some contact details for those so you can go direct to those who are involved. I've realised that's probably been quite a quick tour over a lot of information, but more than happy to take comments either here or subsequently by email.
Thank you very much, Alan. Again, we'll go on to questions for Alan after we get the last presentation completed, but you can download Alan's presentation from the box in the lower right corner of the screen. Our final presentation today will be given by Matthew Payne of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. So, Matt, you can go ahead when you're ready.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Glad to present here. I'll start off with just a very basic review of Smartway. I think some of the people on the phone probably know, but for those that don't, I'll just give this brief introduction. Smartway was launched in 2004. Development started in 2001, proceeded through 2003. It's a voluntary partnership between the U.S. freight industry and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. In terms of the development, we had a lot of stakeholder process from the American Trucking Associations, Business for Social Responsibility, a number of organizations back in 2001 through 2003 prior to the launch. Since 2004, we now have over 3,000 companies in the program. Smartway is essentially a program that collects data from carriers, provides it in a format for shippers to use to calculate their carbon, NOx, or PM footprint from freight transportation, land-based at this point. The goals of Smartway, of course, from the environmental standpoint, EPA is looking to reduce CO2, NOx, and PM emissions. A good byproduct of that is it saves millions of gallons of fuel when you make those CO2 reductions. And, of course, for the private industry members who participate, for every gallon of diesel that you save or through efficiency, you're saving money. So it's a win-win-win for all parties involved. EPA gets environmental reductions. National security is improved by reduction in the importation of foreign fuel. And, of course, companies get to meet their needs, such as carbon footprint, carbon inventory reporting, as well as really looking at ways to make their operations more efficient. Question is, how does SmartWay accomplish these goals? Basically, we look to provide the freight transportation industry with additional information that they can use to make informed decisions. As we all know, markets function perfectly when there's perfect information. There is no such thing as perfect information, so SmartWay is trying to step in to provide as much information as possible in order to make those informed decisions. Doing so, we really want to do this in a standardized system of data calculation, or data collection and calculation, because what we've heard from our shareholders, stakeholders early on, really was that there was a plethora of different ways to calculate this. Ranging from mini calculators on the on websites to different standards that maybe one or two companies were using. So there's a big need for a standardized system. We've stepped in as the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, federal agency here in the United States. We've been able to provide that standardized system. It is a market-based system, meaning that there are incentives for all who participate. For shippers, they are very interested in using the SmartWay logo, which is a mark of clean transportation. That's important to them. It's important to a percentage of their customers who are interested in how green the people that they shop with or do business with are. And it also allows them to meet government requirements, especially the multinational corporations that we have been very interested in CO2, their CO2 footprints, and looking at ways of reducing CO2. For freight companies themselves, the transportation providers, they get essentially what I'll show to be a benchmarking system, and we've helped them find ways, investigate new technologies and new efficiencies throughout their participation in the program. We accomplish all this by providing calculation tools as well as a data management system and online support for those members. And of course, you know, when you look at the, this is a U.S.-based pie chart here, but if you're looking at supply chain goods movement for CO2, you will note that, at least here in the United States, medium heavy-duty trucks are by far the biggest portion. You've got aircraft responsible as well as ships and rail, et cetera, and of those medium heavy-duty trucks, you can see the breakout. So it's a significant portion of the total U.S. CO2 pie. So freight was identified as something that could be addressed. Also, when you're looking at CO2 reduction, you know, you have regulatory programs that can improve fuel efficiency of vehicles. EPA has done rulemakings on heavy-duty vehicles recently, as well as light-duty vehicles to improve the carbon efficiency, or actually the fuel efficiency of those vehicles. SmartWay has a multitude of components. The basic building blocks are the carrier data collection tools. We currently have tools for the trucking industry, logistics, the rail industry, and a multimodal suite, which covers those multimodal companies that use rail and truck to deliver their freight. These have all been industry and academically peer-reviewed, and they collect actual data as reported by the companies in terms of gallons, miles, payload volume, information about the vehicle class and model year that goes into NOx and PM calculations, as well as operational characteristics. In addition to reporting the data, they also report where the data comes from. So if, for example, they need to report this for their IFTA reporting to DOT or other things to the IRS, we ask if those are the same data sources that they use for those government agencies. Each tool also has a little disclaimer at the beginning that says, reminder, it's illegal to submit false information to the U.S. government, and there are penalties for doing so. Also built into the tools, we have places where they, you know, the partner will fill out the data, and then essentially the tool checks it against a range of previous results that we've seen. That have been put into distribution curves and then segmented into what we call red and yellow alerts. If the data is out of range or unusual, they'll get a red alert. They'll be asked to address and explain why it is out of range. If it's a yellow, they'll also be cautioned as to that their data might not quite fit into the mid-range. So we've taken a lot to address data quality issues, and we will continue to do that as we move forward. The shipper tool serves as kind of the clearinghouse for the data that we collect in the carrier tools. And I'll go into this in a little bit more detail later on. But suffice it to say, all the data that goes into the carrier tools goes into our database, select pieces of that data go up to our website, and then that information is pulled into the shipper tool such that shippers are able to calculate their carbon footprint for CO2, NOx, PM2.5, PM10, and also there's a multitude of ways in the shipper tool where they can look at that by different components, whether domestic versus international, inbound, outbound, or internal freight, or even if they can break that down into specific product lines. All of this is made possible by the SmartWay database. Every piece of information we collect in the SmartWay tools is put into the database, and this allows us quite a bit of number crunching ability when we start looking at benchmarking. Of course, there's the SmartWay website that contains downloadable version of all the tools. We have user guides, technical documentation. We've done recorded webinars, et cetera. Those are all up on the website. Starting in 2013 for the truck tool, we're actually going to have links embedded in the tools, which will go into tutorials on our website where a person filling out the tool can click on the video link, and it will actually take them to a demonstration of how to fill out the tool. So the tools have been around. The truck tool has been around since about 2004. We went through a major redesign in the 2008 timeframe, but it's had a lot of use. We've had a lot of stakeholder feedback, both from the industry users as well as the people who we have running, collecting the data in terms of ease of use and ways to get better quality data. We currently are producing or calculating 8 separate emission metrics in the SmartWay program, and these are for, as I mentioned, the pollutants for the CO2, NOx, PM10, and PM2.5. We're currently outputting those in terms of grams per mile and grams per ton mile. We do collect information to produce a grams per volume mile metric, but we won't need to put that data out there until we get the marine and air freight components online. Drafts of those have been, of the marine tool and the air tool, have been developed, but we're going to be phasing those in here in the future. I don't have a definite timeline, but our intent is to cover all modes of the supply chain. So in terms of how this actually works, getting the data, and this will look at the trucking sector, we've developed a number of trucking categories, and when a user fills out the tool, they have to define an operational characteristic and then an equipment characteristic, and then essentially those companies are put into that category such that we can compare them against each other. So if you look at the red box on the screen, you'll see that this is truckload TL, truckload operation for dry van chassis. For those companies that predominantly operate dry van chassis truckload, they would be able to be compared against each other. I should mention also that this is not necessarily only on a partner basis, but on a fleet basis. So if a large company like Swift Transportation has a truckload dry van operation, they may also have a reefer operation as well as a flatbed operation. Those are all captured separately. So the data is captured at the fleet level, not at the partner level, and this allows us to compare similar fleets better. Again, this is used for benchmarking, and you can see we've made the different essentially the intersections of the operational categories on the left hand side and the equipment types on the top. For example, we put all the reefers into the reefer category. We put all the dray into a single dray category based on the operational characteristic, kind of outweighing equipment considerations. But this really allows us to do an apples to apples comparison. And that that makes it fair to provide a relative ranking of the different carrier performance. So we can essentially, for each partner, each individual fleet, we can produce a fleet performance map. As you look in the left-hand corner of the presentation here, you can see where a specific fleet will have a specific performance map, so to speak. Now, when we collect the data, we don't actually report the actual data that is given to us. We put the companies in a particular category, for example, all of the truckload dry van companies, into essentially a bucket, and then we look at quintiles as to the top 20% of performance, the second 20%, third 20%, et cetera. So you've got quintiles, and from that, all the companies that fall into those five different buckets, we report the midpoint of the performance in there. So if you look at the middle one here, middle 20% for truckload dry vans, we saw a range of 1,700 to 1,800 grams per mile of CO2. The output of all companies that fell into that range would be 1,750. So there could be some that were 1,701 versus 1,799. We decided to break this down into these performance ranges for a number of reasons, the first of which the carriers participating were a little bit shy about putting out actual data because that could back calculate into certain competitive pieces of information they didn't want their competitors to know about. And also, it really takes care of slight data discrepancies in terms of how people collect the data, how they report it, et cetera. So the diagram that you see on the left-hand side there, in this particular example, you can see that the company is in the first performance range, the top 20%, for CO2 gram per ton mile. However, in terms of, say, PM2.5, they're in the bottom 20%. So this may be indicative of a fleet that operates a lot of older vehicles, but operates them very efficiently. Conversely, you may have a company who operates, you know, brand new 2010, 2011, 2012 trucks who have very low NOx and PM, but their CO2 could be high simply because they weren't operated efficiently. So for each fleet, for all of those eight metrics, a partner will have a performance range. There will be a gram per mile and a gram per ton mile associated with their performance. And you can allow, and this part shows how the fleets in the range are assigned their performance level. As I mentioned, they're given the bid range data. And of course, there's a bit of analysis that went into developing the emission factors. You can see down at the bottom for each category, you had information on the CO2 NOx, PM10 and PM2.5. You have it for gram per mile and gram per ton mile. So there's a lot of different categories and data points that we're producing for the U.S. freight industry. Currently, we have about 2,500, 2,600 companies currently in the program reporting data. Essentially, we have all of the major trucking companies in the U.S. as participants in quite a few of the mid-range, as well as some of the smaller fleets, even down to some owner-operators. So basically what we did, if you look at the graph here, middle left, we were able to graph a performance range for CO2 gram per mile on the truckload dry van carriers, then determine cut points that represented roughly the 20% increments, determine what those cut points were, establish an equal delta between those cut points, and then we're reporting, again, as I mentioned, the mid-range. Again, this is just to disguise the actual data, but given that previously we had modal averages going down to, say, a truckload dry van where you were, 1650 plus or minus 50, this is a quantum leap in terms of accuracy for shippers who are looking to evaluate their truck carriers. This diagram shows an example of two hypothetical fleets, Alpha versus Beta. They're both truckload dry van, and you can see they, in some cases, Alpha may perform better than Beta. In other times, Beta might be better than Alpha. So a shipper really needs to look at what they're interested in. Are they looking at CO2 comparisons, if they're in general, or perhaps they have a fleet that operates in a congested urban area, in which case they may be more interested in terms of PM or NOx effects. Again, SmartWeb provides the eight emission metrics. It's up to the shipper to determine which one they're going to use to evaluate their carriers. This is a demonstration report that's on our website. On the website, it's actually interactive. You can pull up information on all of the SmartWay categories or broken down by category specific. This one shows truckload dry van. You can see the company and the division name of the company. You can see here First Express. The category is truckload dry van. The fleet type is for hire. We can look at for hire versus private. You have their SCAC and their motor carrier number information. And then you see where their CO2 gram per mile information is displayed, whether it's CO2, NOx, PM10, etc. If you click on this button, it sorts it from top to or best performing to worst performing, etc. You can do these for all of the different categories. So this is all public information. This is not the company's actual information. It's the midpoint of the range information that is displayed. And I should go back. This is actually, I think, from last year, so this is not going to be up to date. But it's the information will be different, but it will be the same type of information. In terms of the shipper information, all the emission factors that you saw on that chart are up on our accessible on the SmartWay website. The shipper tool pulls in the emission factor data from the website into the shipper tool. So for each company that a shipper uses, we have the gram per mile and gram per ton mile information. The shipper then goes through and provides either mileage information or ton mileage information, and then by multiplying the two, they will actually be able to build a carbon footprint based on the average average performance of the each of the carriers that they do. So it will be carrier specific, and essentially you can get a total weighted efficiency for the shipper as well. So they can look at how much that they do by rail carriers versus truck carriers, and then by different types of truck carriers as well. This is a demo from last year's shipper tool output screen. The new shipper tool is going to be probably released either Friday or early next week. But again, they're going to be able to calculate their freight carbon inventory for their entire company. They can break that down to divisions or product lines. They can display it by emission factors or mass emissions. They can look at inbound, outbound, U.S. versus international. They can input a number of different business units, ID codes, or internal shipper segments to, again, further break down their information. They will have this composite weighted average, and then there will be an average for truck versus rail. We also provide beginner tools for determining savings from shipper strategies, such as weight reduction or taking miles out of the system. The SmartWay tool essentially creates a snapshot in time for the shipper, so it doesn't really capture what would my emissions have been had I not done a strategy that I previously took to affect them. So if you, for example, you downsize your product packaging or you reduce your weight, that is something that could be calculated offline within the shipper tool. Same thing for mode reductions. Again, this snapshot is what the shipper used over a calendar year for terms of their annual emissions, for total mass emissions, as well as an emissions rate. And again, this is just another example of the shipper tool output screen. You can display the information for CO2, NOx, PM, get it mass emissions. And again, it really provides the shippers a way to evaluate different carriers, so they can, one, move their freight with the most efficient mode, and then once they're stuck within a mode, they can choose the most efficient carrier within that mode to move their freight. So that's for the shippers. Carriers can also use the information to benchmark their performance. Just recently, we went live on the SmartWay website. We're putting up a number of graphs that are the product of some data mining that we've done within our database. I'm just showing a couple examples here. There'll be many examples that'll rotate through on the SmartWay website. But in this graph over here on the upper left, this is MPG range, all SmartWay Class 8B trucks for all fuel types. All of these small dots here represent a data point. You can see there's about 2,200 data points on the graph, which represent all of those fleets that operated Class B trucks. You can see the distribution in terms of MPG. Now, the individual fleets are just simply numbered here anonymously. So you can't associate a particular MPG with a particular fleet. But what you can do is if you're a fleet that operates Class B trucks, you know what your MPG is, and you can see exactly where you would fall on this curve, whether you're down here in the good performance range or maybe you're up here in the higher performance range. And we can actually break this down quite a bit. We could say MPG for all for-hire truckload operations that operate Class B diesel trucks, and actually create that graph and allow companies to see where they were. Same thing by average payload or empty miles, et cetera. So this this will provide the trucking industry here in the U.S. a ability to benchmark far and beyond whatever they've had in the past. And we'll just work to get more of this type of information out so that companies can benchmark themselves. And, of course, if they're in the higher range, then that's going to be a market signal to them that they need to improve in that particular category. And, of course, because we break the we can break the data down by categories, you don't have the excuse of saying, well, I'm a flatbed and the data just looks at all trucks, so I have special considerations. No, we can present data specific to flatbed operation, tanker operation, dray operation, even moving van type operation. So fleets will really be able to narrow down what they're looking at. Now, all this, the output, the aid emission metrics for all the fleets, this is publicly available. We have a file on our website that is accessible by transportation management software providers. These are the big guys like Oracle and SAP that do the that do global routing. So they can access that data, put that into their TMS systems, so that in the same way that they optimize based on cost, time, speed of delivery, risk management, they would also have the ability to look at managing by carbon. And again, this is we've really at this point we have the U.S. ground freight essentially covered. We are looking to expand. SmartWay has made a number of inroads internationally. Just recently, Canadian government has adopted a virtual clone of SmartWay. There's a SmartWay in Australia. Transporte Limpio in Mexico is a SmartWay clone. Objective CO2 is in France. And, of course, then there's the Green Freight, which is, again, another outreach of SmartWay program in Europe. And we've actually been making significant inroads in China, where the Chinese government is expressing heavy interest in the SmartWay program as well. But it is ultimately, we understand the need. There needs to be a, if you're a multinational corporation and you need to track, freight from Guangzhou to Chicago, then, you're going to need to have full international access. And we have been talking with a number of stakeholders to do that, but as one would expect, full international integration is a ways off. But we've essentially the standardized system for ground freight here in the United States at this point, and that'll conclude my presentation.